Blog Talk Radio.
About me and you, love, spending some special time. I can even write a rhyme about you. See, I know what it means now to be caught up. Chasing your thoughts just like the scent of your perfume. It fills the room even when you're not there. Is it hot in here or is it just me? Maybe it's the vision of your mocha skin pulling me in and making me do things I don't wanna. Or could it be the...
All right, let's do it. Podcast 528-2020, Midwest Mocha Singles Podcast is back on. We got a great show tonight, two great topics, your emails, letters, all of that coming right up. We're going to get kicked off right away. Going to go through our cast here, our whole crew. I'm going to start off with introductions. First, my name is Brian Hendricks. I'm going to introduce my right hand, the boom shakalaka. David, go ahead.
No.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka.
Okay. I'm David. I'm boom shakalaka. Whatever he wants to call me. That's a new one this week. I'm looking forward to interacting with each and every one of you.
All right, all right. And then we have Mrs. Fletcher. Go ahead.
Hello, hello. I am excited to be back. We are ready for tonight's topics and for our callers. We miss you guys. Hope you enjoy the show.
Amen. And then, Miss, don't call me Sheila Rila. Go ahead.
I just knew you were going to say Miss Parker.
Miss Parker.
I forgot all about that. My bad.
Oh,
That's next week.
Right.
Yes. Next week. This is Rila. And I'm so glad to be back. I missed our last show. I really missed our audience, so I'm glad to be back. And I want to welcome some new pages that we have. Of course, you know we have the Midwest Mocha Singles, and we're glad to be a part of that. That's our originating group. But now I'm so pleased to announce, this is where we need the sound effect, Brian. So pleased to announce that we have some fan pages. That we put up. And so those groups will be going live soon. I'm hoping that there are some folks from those fan pages listening tonight. We have the West Coast Mocha Singles coming. The fan page is up, so come on, get out there and start making some posts. That's going to serve our folks in California. We have the East Coast Mocha Singles. That's going to serve the folks in New York, New Jersey, and in Philly. Southwest Mocha Singles, that's going to serve the folks in Texas and Louisiana. And then we have the Tropical Mocha Singles, and that's for the folks in Florida, our singles in Florida. Then we have the Desert Mocha Singles. You'll see me a lot in that group on the fan page. And that's going to serve the singles in Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas. And then coming soon, folks, tell all your friends, coming soon we will have the Southeast Mocha Singles. That's going to serve the singles in Atlanta and Myrtle Beach and our Capital Mocha Singles, and that's for the DMV area. So we're really excited. We're doing big things, having a lot of fun over here. And so just let everyone know, all your friends and family, that this is what we do every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. We have this group and we have another group, and we just, you know, we get it in on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. So we're excited to be back.
Well, thank you. And Gloria Mocha-Steen is so excited about the East Coast Mocha Single. She will be making an appearance very, very soon. Look out for her. Okay, I don't know who that was. That's somebody that broke up my room right quick.
Wow.
Hey, so thank you, Ms. Rila. We are going to get kicked off right away. The first topic tonight is long-distance relationships. Should you, should you not, should you, should not, and should you, should not if you should. we're going to kick that topic off with David again, the Boom Shakalaka. David, give us your take on long-distance relationships, especially since you're down in Florida and we're all up here. So you might be able to give a little dissertation to your thoughts on long-distance relationships.
Well, first of all, you might as well make another group called Indianapolis Singles because the 317 is alive and kicking in this group. So, all right.
Careful,
so,
Mr. Tropical.
All right. So, long distance relationships. My take on it, it can go either way. I do know of some success stories with long distance relationships, but it all comes down to the vibe of the people that's involved. You know, sometimes there's trust issues with someone being, you know, one place and the other being in the other. Me personally, I experienced it once, and we ended up getting married, so that's a long story, but, you know, it can work, and then again, it can't. You know, you have situations where once they get together, they're together, but once they separate and go their separate ways, they do whatever. You have the insecurity of certain people, you know, okay, what are they doing when I'm not there? You know, what's going on, you know, while, you know,
right.
We're apart, you know.
Right.
Can people
yeah.
get past that? And the trust issue comes in, and you know, it's a lot of factors that will go into a long-distance relationship that people must think about before they decide
yeah.
to do that. Do they want to go through all of that? What's the end game to a long-distance relationship? Are you talking about getting together? Is it just a hookup? You know, what is it? So you have to set those boundaries and make those steps be known from the beginning before you even think about a long-distance relationship. And that's my take on
yeah.
Florida. How about that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is real. I definitely agree, especially with the last point you made, David, that mm-hmm. two people who are in that relationship really need to sit down at the beginning of the relationship and set the intent. You know, I know we're just getting to know each other, but if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do this thing, because the trust, the communication, the, you know, dedication to a long-distance relationship, it's hard. You have to schedule visits, especially if you're further away than maybe 1 or 2 hours. You have to schedule visits.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, like after work, you know, me and the people from work are going out to have drinks. I want you to come join us. You can't do that in a long-distance relationship. You can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, come home from a long day and say, you know, I need my feet rubbed. That's not going to happen. So sometimes you still feel lonely even though you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That happens even when the person is there. But we're talking about long-distance
yeah.
right now. So, but it's hard. It's really, really hard. And you do have more of an opportunity to feel lonely. And if that person misses a phone call, you know, or a Skype or a FaceTime opportunity when you've scheduled something, then all of a sudden the wheels start turning and you're like, where are
yep.
they? Or, you know, why did they
exactly.
miss a call? So it takes
mm-hmm.
special people to be in a long-distance relationship. But I will
mm-hmm.
say this. For some people, it works. They don't want to be, you know, up under their significant other every day. They don't want to see that person all the time. It feels new and fresh every time they get together, you know, so it's exciting. And that works for them. So it just kind of depends on the two people who are in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah. I say the same thing.
Miss Fletcher, what
do you
think?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely would work, because I feel like it's no different if you have a friend that, you know, you've been knowing for a while who's out of town, and then you guys find common interest, or just say you and your spouse travel a lot and you're always away from each other. It keeps things going. Yes, it's difficult, but I feel like it helps you to set certain foundation early on versus when you're in the same, you know, up under each other, you kind of just end up in a, like, situation where you don't know what's going on. You just are seeing each other, dating each other, not going anywhere. When you're long distance, you're like, okay, what are we doing? How are we going to do this? Are we going to move together? Where do we want to live? Mm-hmm. Are we going to just date each other? You know, I feel like more ground rules are set so that feelings aren't hurt in the long run. Mm-hmm. So I think it helps to kind of build that foundation early on versus leading each other on, you know, because people have more expectations when you're not in front of each other. But it helps you to figure out different ways to keep things spicy, keep things going, be creative, be thoughtful, because you guys aren't in the same space. So I think it's definitely, it has a lot of pros, you know, even though the cons that you're not together all the time. But it's definitely, I feel like, a good thing in the beginning, the dating stage, and just, like, getting to know each other, because you have to communicate a lot. And so definitely, you know, I'm for it. You know, your love of your life may be anywhere. You never know. So just say someone is local, you know. You never know. You can go on vacation with your family, meet someone, and you're like, okay, so they're living here. Am I going to say no, or am I going to, you know, invite this opportunity in my life? So,
yeah.
So you're not, so you're saying that they're not in the area code of 317?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's funny. I was just listening to a sermon the other day. I was just listening to a sermon the other day that, and the pastor said exactly those words, Mia. They said, she said that we have to open ourselves up more because the person who is for us may not be right next door. They may not even be in your zip code, so, or your area code. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
I always say that, like, please explore, like, I'm not one of those people who are like, oh my God, I have to live here forever. No, there are so many opportunities out there. Like, love does not have limits. So, hey, you could be at the airport and meet someone, and they're going somewhere, you're going somewhere. You're like, wow, we really hit it off. Like, you never know. But I'm not going to say, oh, I can't date you because you live over there. I can't do it. No, yeah, right. Come on, let's do this. Let's figure it out and see if we continue to build this relationship. And see what happens.
And definitely a lot of people do exactly that. I think that's one of the, you know, we set these boundaries for ourselves. We say, you know, if I want to meet somebody, they have to be here and they have to do this. And we put all these parameters up around ourselves, and then we spend so much time being frustrated when we can't find somebody that fits in that nice, neat little package. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to want somebody that you want to be with, being near you. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I think everybody kind of sort of wants that. But you also have to understand that literally there's millions of possible options that you have in the world. To narrow yourself down is literally just kind of cutting down your own options and making it harder for yourself. When you've got the advent of the internet, we know, those of us old school know, we don't have to call after 7 for free phone calls no more. So we have some options where you can stay in touch with somebody. It doesn't cost your arm and leg. It's not that difficult. So that part is there. But then, and personally, the biggest piece, we've all kind of been talking about it here, is the communication piece. And understanding what that means. Communication is a real broad term, right? I mean, to me, it means talking on the phone. To some folks, we've had the post up in our group. We've talked about, are you a phone person or a text person? There's a lot of folks who are text people. If you're a phone person and that long-distance person is a text person, you're going to have problems right there, right off the bat, because they're probably not going to call the way you want to. You're going to call and they'll be like, text you, you know, WYD, I'm doing something. Like, pick up the phone. No, I don't want to pick up the phone. I want to do, you know. So you can start having problems right then and there. So I think that you need to discuss not only communication but the form of communication that you choose, that you want. And then if you find somebody who's along that same line, then I think you probably got a shot at it. But if, you know, if you just think, well, they're two states away, but they're going to call me and I'm going to call them, and just assume that they understand where you're coming from, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up a little bit right there. That's just my bet. We do have a caller. It's a two. I'm sorry. A caller with the last four numbers 6950. 6950. You are in the air. You have a minute. Caller, if you're 6950, go ahead.
Hey, man, this is John Kevin Vogt. I'm a member of Midwest Smokers. Live in Florida.
Hey, how you
Mocha.
Doing?
Yay.
Hey, Tropico.
Hey, listen. I've been involved in two long-distance relationships, and, you know, the biggest part is just, you know, you miss each other. You know, you don't miss phone
right.
calls because that's a given. But the biggest thing is time apart, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I made it work for a couple of years. But after a couple of years, you know, it tended to die down because we couldn't agree on one accord to come together. So that was the
yeah.
biggest hurdle. Just having time apart
okay.
from each other, you know. But you look forward to the nightly calls or, you know, the text messages or the video conferences or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I don't have a problem with long-distance relationships. It could work.
So, John, this is Brian. So how did that work out for you? I mean, did it end up, you know, I mean, obviously you know, we may still be single, but how did that overall turn out?
Well, with one person, we're still actually very good friends, you know, because
okay.
we got to know each other's families. So the kids and the aunts and uncles, they know you. And, you know, it was an amenable, how you say it? The relationship was resolved. You know, we were very friendly. It wasn't no hostilities or nothing like that. And like I said, today
so
we're very still very good friends. Yeah, amicable. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're still very good friends, you know. Oh, yes. Oh yes, the one lady told me that you know if we're not together we can't be friends. So then that was like the end of that relationship. Because she had an issue with anybody I came in contact with, and since I run a mobile business, you know I'm my customer service is every day, and that was an
okay.
issue for her. Yeah.
So there's that trust thing.
There's the trust. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they
Yeah, I mean that's I guess I could see that. You know, that's a whole nother subject though, the whole friends after relationship. You know, y'all know how I feel about that. I ain't gonna touch that one
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think, is that with a long-distance relationship, people are looking for a relationship. They're not necessarily looking for a friendship. So although it's great that, you know, after John broke up with the young lady that they remained friends, you're looking for a relationship. And so, again, what Mia said was very important as far as establishing that foundation from the beginning. He said that one of the problems was we couldn't come together. So talking about that from the beginning, look, we need to establish eventually one of us is going to have to move because
yeah.
a relationship is not going to be sustainable for years and years and years, you know, with one person being in one place and one person being in the other, unless that's what you want. Because like I said, for some people, they want that. They feel like this is exciting every time we come together. We want to miss each
mm-hmm.
other. And it actually works for them. But for, you know, the majority of people who are actually looking for a relationship, they want to be together eventually. So I think that conversation has to be had.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
If you're not willing to make that commitment, then I don't see why you should keep it going for years and years, especially if it's not work-related. You know, if you're not... oh, I have to travel for work all of the time, you know, and you're just at home and you're not making an effort, you're not driving, you're not flying, then what are we doing? So to keep
right.
it going for years and years, you're just wasting your time at this point. So
mm-hmm.
let it go. Within the first year, I feel like you should already have some type of system going on to where, yes, things are going to come up, you're going to have emergencies, but you should have something where you guys, hey, let's meet halfway, you know, let's make
mm-hmm.
an effort to
mm-hmm.
where we have our time together. And then from there we can say, okay, what does this look like on a long-term basis? Do we feel like we're going to move, you know, in one location, or are we going to start somewhere fresh? you know, and start this relationship, what does that look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know, okay, are we going to continue this or are we going to stop right here and just say, you know what, this isn't going to work. We're not on the same page. And go from there.
Right.
Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to those. But thank you all. Okay, segment one, we're just about closing out this. We still, if you want to call in, if you're listening on the link, we got a few people out there. I see a handful of y'all. Remember, the number to call in is 516-387-1381. This is the Midwest Mocha Singles Podcast. We will be back in just a moment.
Montana's, we're living the best life.
Getting ready, ready for a good time. It's Friday night, so I'm ready to roll. Now it's time to get the show on the road. And jumping at the field.
Celebrate 25 years of Montana's and enjoy new and old favorites, like all-you-can-eat ribs and new Canadian beef brisket. Escape to Montana's today.
I think the biggest myth, the biggest falsehood about motherhood after you have a baby is the postpartum piece. Nobody talks about it.
When this baby came around, I was hit by a bus.
I noticed I was really irritable. I felt down. I was angry. I would lash out. There were a few nights where I really didn't have a wink.
It affected my relationship with my kids. It affected my relationship with my spouse, and it affected the way I interacted with my parents because I didn't want them to see what was happening.
Talking about postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, any perinatal mental illness is extremely, extremely important.
I think it's more common than we think it is, for sure.
Do not be fooled to think that it's just an individualized issue. It affects the entire family.
The FDA is committed to protecting the health of the American people and to facing any challenges in food safety. Here's what you need to know. First, the U.S. food supply remains safe for both people and animals. Second, there are currently no nationwide shortages of food. Finally, there is no evidence of human or animal food or food packaging being associated with the transmission of coronavirus. For more information on FDA's efforts against COVID-19, please visit FDA.gov.
A private paradise voted the best romantic getaway in the United States.
Visit us online at Sybaris.com, that's Sybaris.com, to receive a free brochure and special discounts for your next romantic getaway.
That kind of scares me when it comes in like that. It just kind of catches me off guard every night. I don't like coming.
Put me under
the coffee table every time that comes up like that.
Oh, no. All right, Indianapolis.
We are back, Midwest Mocha Singles podcast. Again, the number to call in, 516-387-1381. If you have a question or comment, we do have a couple of callers. We're going to get you on in a minute, but we're going to kick off the next segment, which is a real good one. This one is life after infidelity. We're talking about a situation where you're in a relationship, somebody cheats, gets caught, and then they talk about it and they decide to stay together. Is it a good idea? Can they do it? Just, we're going to give, you know, take your calls, get your comments on that. And again, this is a tough one. Who's kicking this one off?
You're the kickoff. Brian's the kicker.
Oh,
Brian. Yes.
Oh, I'm the kickoff.
That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
You're the kicker offer.
I'm the kicker. I'm the quicker offer. Isn't that the bounty's kicked down? Dang. So getting caught. So I actually did have an example of the situation of you years back, and I've said this before, is that the person that cheated on me, I kind of knew before she admitted it, and then later on when she finally did, we had a long talk about it. I made the mistake of saying, yes, I'll forgive you and we can move forward. Now, we were living together at the time. So there were a lot of psychological factors that went into this. I mean, cheating is bad enough. When you find out that the cheating occurred in your bed while you were at work to pay bills and to keep the roof over your head, I mean, that's a real number on your psyche.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I was like is, we have to move. We stay here in this house. I know this fool knows where we live. No. You know, and he didn't live far. I mean, every time he seen me, I know he's thinking, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the real crime was not hers. It was mine. It was me saying, I'll forgive you, and then reminding her every day. I mean, I'm serious. It was every day. And I never really got over it. So what I'm going to say about this is that if you're on the other end, if you get cheated on, don't forget that, yeah, that person's guilty, but you have a responsibility too. If you're going to say that I'm going to be in this relationship, you better be ready to deal with yourself along with them. You have to truly forgive them, and you have to, you know, kind of go through a period where you're going to have to understand that this is going to take a while for you to forgive them. If you can't do it, as much as they're guilty and they've admitted they're wrong or whatever, and I know we've talked about making a mistake, we'll touch that later, but you better be ready to accept that role of the person who's actually forgiving, because just staying with them to make them go to another hell, that's all it is. It's just a second hell for you. I mean, that's just mine. That was my example and opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Don't get my quiet on me now.
No, we won't do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have lots to say, I'm sure, about this topic.
I know.
Yeah. We kind of touched on it yesterday, but I'll...
Yeah, we did. We started having this conversation yesterday. Brian, I totally agree with you in regards to the forgiveness aspect of it. If you're going to forgive somebody, you have to forgive them. You have to be able to do that. And I don't know if that comes through counseling. I don't know if that's going to come through, you know, speaking with another couple who has gone through this before and helping to guide you through it. But that's a hard thing to do, is to forgive somebody after they have been deceitful, after they've been hurtful, and they've made the choice to cheat in the relationship. And I think that the thing is, too, that people need to define in their relationships what's cheating. That's the first thing. Because some people might think talking on the phone to someone else is cheating, where another person might think that it's only sleeping with someone else. So we in the relationship need to define, first of all, what cheating is, and then if indeed it happens in the relationship, if someone wants the woman or the man, because women cheat too. Either way, whoever cheats makes the conscious decision. Women do cheat too. but if they make that conscious decision to do that, please don't call it a mistake. That's the first thing. You guys know yesterday I had a problem with that. Don't call it a mistake. It's not a mistake.
So
you know I have
she have a problem with that.
She flashed.
Don't
say
yes,
that
did.
No more. So don't
yes,
call it a mistake.
Did.
I give some examples yesterday, like giving someone the wrong change, that's a mistake. Woo. Or, you know, when Siri tells you to turn left and you accidentally turn right, that's a mistake. But making the conscious decision to step outside of the confines of your relationship, that is not a mistake. So please don't ever say that to the person you cheated on. Oh, I made a mistake. Ooh. Don't do that. That's not going to end well, let's say that. It is a conscious choice. I've always told my son that, you know, every decision you make comes with a consequence, whether it's a good consequence or a bad consequence. Every decision you make comes with a consequence, and you just need to be ready for those consequences.
Right.
Yeah. I would say, like we kind of touched on yesterday when we were saying that it's hard because a lot of people have a lot of stipulations on, you know, what they say they will put up with or what they will not put up with in a relationship. And when you put outsiders into your situation, into your household, it makes it even difficult because you have a lot of pressures of what other people think, what other people feel, and then that can, you know, either help or it could hinder you guys fixing what's broken, I guess you can say. So, you know, figuring out for your own how you're going to deal with it and how you're going to deal with your spouse first before actually inviting strangers or outsiders into your mix, because it could definitely make it a lot of pressure put on you, you know, forgiving someone and
not even
just relationship
strangers,
to the next level.
We're talking about family too.
Family too, that's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure right there when you bring your family into it, because the minute you tell your mother, your sister, your brother, you know, this man went out and cheated on me, they're not ever going to look at him the same, ever. You might fall back in love with him, but your mama's going to be looking at him side-eyed. And my sister definitely would be looking at him side-eyed for the rest of the relationship. So be careful when you bring your family into, you know, a situation, any situation in your relationship.
In your relationship.
Well, now for me, the situation is kind of different. I don't know if I've ever been cheated on. So I can't say it from personal experience, but my initial reaction to anybody being cheated on, you know, how can you take this person back? How could you do this? I'll drop them like a bad habit. That was initially my feelings on it. But then, you know, I was just made aware of a few years ago that my father cheated on my mother. And of course, I had no idea. You know, I always saw a woman that was madly in love with my father. I saw that till the day he died. But found out a few years ago he did step out on my mother, and he produced a son with this other woman. So I have a brother floating around out there somewhere. Well, I mean, I know where he is, but that's another story anyway. But, you know, I didn't see, you know, even before I knew everything, I didn't see any different.
The aftermath.
I didn't see the aftermath at all. I didn't see, I just saw a woman that was in love with her man. So my perspective changed with, you know, initially thinking, okay, you need to drop him, blah, blah, blah. But situations back, especially back then in the 70s when it, you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, divorce wasn't really an option. And so she made that conscious decision to stay with him, and she did. And again, she stayed with him till the day he passed away. So, it's easy to say, forget about it until you're in that situation. You know, until you're within that situation.
Some people say that it makes their relationship even stronger. So, I've heard that. I've not experienced that, but I've heard that.
Stronger?
Complicated.
We'll just go to a caller on that one.
Lord Jesus, here we go.
We do have a call. We actually have a handful. We're going to try to get to a handful of them here. So, caller, your last four numbers of your number are 4853. Go ahead, caller. Again, last four of your number are 4853. You got a minute. Go ahead.
All right. Hi, everyone. This is Rudy. Rudy Pinnell.
Rudy.
I know that was coming.
Hey, you know, what's going on, man?
Right. It never gets old. Now, well, on this subject matter, I've yet to see anyone ever. I've never seen a model of someone getting over it. It's always, I've never seen it. Like where he mentioned his, where his parents had experiences and so forth and whatnot, I've not seen that. So in every instance I've seen, once someone's caught and busted, so was the relationship. It was busted. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I know, and that's where my mind just goes straight to. You know, so I can't say that I've been cheated on. I could have. I don't know. But I didn't find out, or they didn't get caught. So, but I can say it'd be a very hard thing to come back from once you notice someone, you know, they violated everything that they said. It's like your word is supposed to be your bond, but now you just, everything you say that come out of your mouth is a lie from here on out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right.
Yep. It's
so
hard. That has to be hard.
That's my
now
take.
The message to send to the person that's been cheated on, they just have to realize that, you know, 10 times out of 10, it's not their fault. Because some get that mentality where, okay, what did I do wrong? You know, it's not what you did wrong. It's the choice of the other person. It has nothing to do with you. They may try to flip it on you and say, well, you're not doing this for me, or you're not doing this. It's never the person that's cheated on. It's always the cheater. The cheater is the one that makes that choice.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with what somebody else is doing. The ultimate decision is the cheater themselves. So, you know, I know a lot of people that has to get out of that mentality to say, "Okay, yeah, I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know what can I do to make it right." It's not about you.
Right.
You know, you really have to get that mentality straight. And like Brian said, you know, work on yourself. Not for him, not for stuff that's going on, but just for you. If you decide to take that person back, work on yourself to get through it. Because if you don't, it's going to be a disaster in the long run. So just always remember, it's not about you, it's about the cheater themselves.
All right, we're going to grab another caller real quick here. The caller, the last four-year number are 9057. Again, your caller, the last four-year number are 9057. You got a minute. Go ahead.
I didn't say that.
Called you there?
9057.
All right, moving right along then. Next caller. The last four-year number, caller, are 2073. Once again, caller, last four-year number are 2073. You got a minute. Go ahead.
What's up, everybody? This is the guy, Chester. How y'all doing tonight?
All right, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Huh? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we
got
you.
Go ahead.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're good.
Wonderful.
How are you?
You're a little faint. Need you speak up a little bit.
I'm good. My thing of it is, I was that guy that, you know, wife cheated on him. And I was the guy that was trying to fix the marriage the whole time. You know, and I said I forgave her. But as Brian said, that I wouldn't let it go at times. You know.
Mm.
And I... thinking back of it now, I wouldn't want to go put myself through that. That's a mental torture. If I take this person back, it's always going to be in the back of my mind, is she doing it again? Is she coming home late from work? Or if she's on a phone call that she don't, you know what I'm saying, she walked me out the room. I myself wouldn't be able to do that again. You know, I mean,
right.
The simple fact, if it was a girlfriend, maybe, but it's different when it's a wife that cheats on you. I've been cheated on by a girlfriend. I've been cheated on by my ex-wife. And it hurts worse when it's your wife because I made that covenant. Y'all stood up and made that covenant vow, you know. And I don't know if y'all agree or disagree, but if a spouse that you got a covenant with breaks that covenant, it's hard, you know. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I definitely agree, I should say. It is hard, but I think, and I don't negate anything that you just said, but I think if you take someone back, you, like Brian said before, like David said, you have to do the work. Don't take them back if you're going to torture that person like Brian did. in his example, don't take that person back if you're going to torture them. It's better just to cut ties and let them go and move
not
on.
Not torture yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you end up torturing yourself. It
just
becomes toxic. Yeah, exactly. Every day. So, yeah, as opposed to taking them back and torturing them, let them go. Move on.
Yeah, it's deep. I mean, it's a real deep thing, and there's just so many facets of it, man. We could do a absolute whole show on that topic alone. Yeah, thank you so much, callers. Again, the number. We'll try to grab another one. We got a lot of them out there, and we understand. We're trying to get as many as we can. The number is 516-387-1381. We got to pay some bills. MMS Podcast. We'll be back.
See your next special occasion from an elegant new perspective. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, group outings. A most memorable experience with views you won't find on land. Exceptional, unforgettable Odyssey. Plan your next special occasion at odyssey.com.
1, 2, 3, 4
Hey, hey, Miller Lite. It's it, and that is what we say in Texas.
When we ask for a cerveza, we want to start a fiesta.
The beer is Miller Lite, like is it today.
See, the great Pilsner taste keeps you ahead of it all.
Miller Lite, Miller Lite, that's what we say in Texas.
Beat yourself up hotline.
Is this the beat yourself up hotline?
Yes, sir. If you'd like to beat yourself up, this is the place to do it.
Okay, I'd like to beat myself up now, please.
Go right ahead when you're comfortable.
I am so stupid. I can't believe how stupid I am. What an idiot. I left all my holiday shipping until the last minute again. Now it's a huge hassle. Why do I have to do this to myself every year? When, oh, when will I learn?
You beat yourself up very well, sir.
Thanks.
But maybe you should just log on to SmartShip.com.
SmartShip.com?
Right. Type in your zip code, and SmartShip.com tells you the fastest, easiest, most affordable way to do your holiday shipping, even at the last minute.
Wow, SmartShip.com.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I think of that?
Well,
why do I have to have somebody else tell me what to do?
Oh, sir.
When, oh, when will I ever have an original thought?
You're really good at this, sir.
I've been told it's a gift.
SmartShip.com, the way smart shipping is done.
I'm Fran Phillips, Deputy Secretary for Public Health at the Maryland Department of Health. Our agency is closely monitoring all aspects of COVID-19, the new coronavirus, and taking steps to keep Marylanders safe and healthy. Though the public health threat in Maryland remains low, every level of government is working diligently to prepare for all possible scenarios. Protect yourself and your loved ones from respiratory viruses by washing hands frequently and covering your coughs and sneezes. Stay home from school and work if you are sick. It's important to know the majority of people recover from this infection. Many patients will have only mild to moderate symptoms. Visit health.maryland.gov or dial 211 for up-to-date information and resources.
Okay. It'll be all right. Thank you, Miss Parker.
You're welcome.
Miss Parker.
We are back at the Midwest Market Singles Podcast. Again, the number 516-387-1381. We've had a couple of good topics, but now is one of our favorite times of the show where we get to actually get into our members, our callers. We're going to take another call, but then we're also going to try to read off some questions that we got throughout the week from you. Try to answer those as a group. Of course, callers can answer them as well. We're going to take another caller here. We have a caller. Caller, the last four of your number are 9669. Ooh, that's six. Ooh, okay. 9669.
No.
Those last four are your number. Hey, don't get too imaginative out there, y'all. 9669. Caller, go ahead.
Too late.
Too late.
Call, you there? Caller, last four, 9669.
Don't be shy now.
We will move on. Caller, next caller, the last four, your number are 5287. Once again, the last four are 5287. Caller, go ahead. You have a minute.
Hello, everybody. It's KC.
KC in the Sunshine Band.
What's going on?
I'm listening. I'm just enjoying the show tonight. You guys have really good topics coming up. I don't know whose voice that is. That's super deep, but right on, brother. That's all I'm going to say.
That is Barry. We've brought Barry White back, and he's doing the show with us next.
That's Boom Shakalaka.
Go ahead, Casey.
Ahead, Casey. What you got?
There we go. Okay, so really quickly, I just wanted to kind of piggyback, if I can, off of the last topic where I heard the gentleman talking about infidelity, and that's pretty much what provoked me to call in. I feel like if you're going to be in a situation, if you're married or if you're single, or dating, I'm sorry, a lot of times we don't realize that when a female or a woman steps out, 90% of the time it's because there is something lacking in her relationship, and most likely she has brought it up to her partner on numerous occasions, and it went unheard. And not to give justification to infidelity on her part, but 90% of the time women will typically express her dissatisfaction in a relationship multiple times, and it goes unheard before she decides to step out. And that's kind of what I wanted to throw on the table for you guys. I don't know if anybody agrees or disagrees, but speaking from a female perspective. Say that
again. I can definitely agree with that. I can definitely agree with that one.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. As a female on the panel, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Most times women are communicators, and women are going to tell you what they need, sometimes to a fault, because men, you know, a lot of times our mothers will say, you know, you keep beating a dead horse, or you keep saying things and that kind of thing, nagging. And so, but we're telling you, we're putting it out there, we're telling you before anything ever happens. Now, I can't condone, like she said, I can't condone the cheating aspect of it, because I'd rather just leave if I'm not getting what I need. But I do believe that more women will tell a man in several different ways, through her actions, through her, you know, communication verbally, in several different ways. She's going to let him know, I'm not getting what I need.
Right.
And, you know, just... I know this is a touchy one, but do we feel that the cheating aspect is viewed differently if a man cheats versus a woman cheats? And I ask that in all fairness, because personally I do feel like when a man cheats, it's wrong either way. I do feel that there seems to be a lot more outrage when a man cheats. Primarily, I think it might be because men tend to cheat for really stupid reasons. I mean, really bad reasons.
Ego.
I've seen these guys have a beautiful woman at home, cooking, cleaning, all that, and when what he goes out and messes with is, and women do tend to cheat more emotionally. They tend to cheat with somebody that they know, somebody that they see a relationship with. Those guys will grab anything that moves and that doesn't run away from them. Do you feel, just as a panel, do you feel like maybe that's the case?
Brian, I feel like it's always cliche because men, they cheat, right? And you typically hear women are more accepting to forgive or try and take them back. When women cheat, Men are like one and done, heartbroken forever.
Right.
I'm going to ruin 20 more women because one cheated on me. So now all women are bad. I hate them all. Let's destroy them. And you're less forgiving because your ego is stroked in the wrong way. And so you're taking it out on everyone else. Women, we will take the sting, right? And initially it's like a personal dig, right? We're trying to figure out what's going on, you know, oh my God, why me? And then we're trying to work it out with the man, figure it out, try to fix it, even if the man isn't willing to fix it, right? And then we'll even end the relationship and get into another relationship with an open heart, where men, they're like, oh my God, I've been cheated on. Women are terrible. Oh my God.
No lies detected.
I do think you're right in some aspects, but women carry it over too. I can't say that it's only men. Men do have these big egos, and they are generally one and done because they feel like this woman has given away this gift, you know, this special thing that was between him and her. And so that's why I think that men are like, I can't do this anymore. Every time he, you know, touches her or looks at her, he's seeing that other man. Women tend to hold on to those things too, though. I've seen many men, many of my male friends, we have conversation, and they're like, the next woman that they are with, she's coming with baggage. She's coming because that man hurt her. Now he is not that man. So give me the opportunity to be a good man to you. And she's looking at him like the guy who cheated on her. So it happens both ways, I think. Men, I think it's because of their ego. Women, I think it's because of their hearts are just broken. So I think it happens both ways, but for different reasons.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Gotta go with it.
Let's jump in with a question from our inbox, guys. This one says, should men be required to help with housework, grocery, shopping, or anything else most people in society believe is a woman's job if they work long hours?
Golly, that's like 1950.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The word
like
required,
said
that's
a
the word.
Some people believe it's a woman's job.
I know. You're required. You better go grocery shopping. Okay.
So, brothers, what do you think?
Yes, brothers, are you required?
Cricket.
I'll help around the house. I'll help. I used to do the laundry. I used to help when she needed help in the kitchen, cooking, cleaning house. I did all of that. I did a lot of that stuff. So, you know, because she worked just like I did. So it was a two-person job. And then when our kids got older, shoot, they got to work too. So, it's no longer, you know, this is not the 50s or the 60s, you know, where the woman is staying home and doing everything. Women are working just as much, if not harder, like men. So, you know, there's going to be that time where, you know, you have to take care of the home as well as, you know, doing everything outside of the house to make sure the home is complete. So it's an equal job, in my opinion.
Good answer.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Both parties are required to help and pitch in. It's not one person over the other. You know, everyone has a duty to actually assist and help. Some people are going to be stronger in other areas than other, right? And so you guys kind of play off of each other and figure out what your strengths are and go from there. But no, it's not, I'm required. I don't even know how that would be a transactional, strange relationship because, my God, you better go to the store. I can't go. You better fold the towels, honey. I can't fold them.
Yeah, exactly. And relationships are partnerships. You know, when you're in a relationship, it's a partnership. If you dirty up dishes, then you should be able to wash dishes. If you sweep in the bed, you should be able to change some sheets. So I think that if you see that it needs to be done, then let's do it. Let's work together and get it done, especially because we both work. You know, we both are bringing in the bacon, as they say. Yeah, it's a partnership in every aspect, not just the housework, but
the household.
Every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm all for about anything
what
that brings in
got?
Bacon. Hey.
That's right, bringing in.
Well,
grab I shouldn't have used bacon.
One more caller here.
You want to do another caller? Yes.
Yeah, we do. We'll go grab one more. The last four numbers are 2180. Caller, the last four are 2180. And you got a minute? Please go ahead. Oh, wait, they just
dropped. What's
up, y'all? Dropped.
How y'all family doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey. I'm fantastic. I was going to comment on that house sharing. I think it's, you know, like Dave said, it ain't the 60s. You know, it's... we in this together. Let's make this work together. You know, I don't mind doing no shopping, housework, laundry, all whole nine yards, you know. So
all right.
One to put it, say that's a woman's job. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's equal opportunity out here nowadays, you know.
That's right.
Pastor, a woman's right, so... You know, hey, they got the right to go to work. We got the right to do the same thing they do, you know. Let's make a happy home and make sure everything is tight around the house. You know, if I got to do the dishes, so be it. If I got to do the laundry, so be it. If I got to clean the house, so be it. You know, that one-sided thing is over with.
That's good stuff, yeah. We agree.
No, so... But just wanted to check in with y'all.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, that's I mean, I like that angle. I like that angle, you know, just I mean, make it even. Make it even, Stephen.
He's doing everything, okay? He said, I'll come on
and
make
it work. Okay. And sometimes, I have to say, it's not always going to be even. You know, sometimes if I'm putting in, you know, longer hours at work, you're going to have to pull a little more weight around the house and vice versa. So it's not always going to be, as Pastor Jeffrey Johnson says, it's not always going to be equal giving. It's going to be equal sacrifice.
Yep.
Right. All right, so I have a question, and I'm pretty sure the men are probably going to be mad at me for it, but because of my
Uh-oh.
Take on it. But,
go for it.
All right, so the question is, does your significant other's sexual past, does it bother you when you're in the relationship? I'm not going to speak on the women. I'm not going to speak from their point of view. But for men, and I'm just giving you a tip, ladies, if a man says it does not bother him, he's lying.
Lying.
Okay? He's lying.
Don't call for it.
Let me tell you why. I know a friend of mine that was, he was dating this woman for about 4 years, and they broke up, I'd say about 8 months. They got back together. And when they got back together, things sexually changed on her part.
Mm-hmm.
So
she learned some things.
He asked her.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he asked me. He said, what do you think that means? And I told him, and this is why I don't give advice, because you're going to do the opposite of what I tell him. He asked me, so what do you think that happened? You think she was messing with somebody else? I said, I don't know. But don't ask, because you're not going to want to know the answer. But, of course, curiosity got the best of him, and he asked, and she told him. Even though he was out there doing the same thing that he thought she wasn't doing. And so his ego messed with him so much so that he could not continue the relationship. So I'm just going to tell you, just don't even bring it up. Ladies, don't even bring that part up, because 9 times out of 10 we do not want to know. I'm telling you, we do not want to know, because our ego cannot take it.
So do you want to lie, or how do you handle it?
Just don't bring it up. I'm just for men.
No,
don't
the men.
Even, don't
the
even,
men bring it up. The men bring it up. So
well,
then how do you respond?
That's on them. I'm just putting that feeler out there right now. Don't ask.
So not only are you telling the truth, but on the second piece where you were saying the men bring it up, what I would advise ladies doing, and this is to every lady that is listening to this, and like David said, the brothers ain't going to like this, but we're not on here to pat egos.
Nope.
We're here to try to tell as much truth as we possibly can. If a brother asks you a question like, how many have you been with or whatever, the first thing you should say is, are you prepared to hear the real answer of what I'm about to tell you? Because when he tries to go off later, and he will, when he goes off later, say, that's just how you was raised, or you know, however he comes back with you. You have that ammunition of saying, I asked you up front, brother, if this answer was going to bother you, and you told me it was cool, and obviously it's not cool. So just make that, it's kind of like a legal disclaimer before you answer. Tell him up front, are you prepared to hear the truth? Or you can just say, do you want me to lie or you want to tell you the truth? Like, what's my line from Trinidad? You want to go to jail or you want to go home? Just give him a real honest back and forth, honest answer. And let him make the decision. Because if he makes that decision, then, okay, boom. Give him the number and watch his face. And wait for the silence. And then say, no, I'm cool with it. And then the next day, he starts asking, so, what was that number again? That kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Ladies,
I'm going to tell you. Especially if you guys were broken up, like the scenario that David gave is that they were broken up. They were not together. They took a break. So she was doing her thing. He was doing his thing. Lady, I'm telling you, from a woman's perspective, if you want that relationship to last, don't tell. Lie.
Don't say nothing.
Lie.
Don't tell
Is this
him.
What you
Seriously.
Want?
Okay, because he is never going to forget it. Ladies, if you're not ready to have that question answered, don't ask them.
Same
thing. You know we're good at that. We're going to ask the question. So,
tell me the truth.
Where did you meet
him? Tell
me the truth.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we're very good at asking that question.
Leave it alone.
Wait a minute. Who done told you how to put your leg over here?
Yes.
No. No.
Don't say a word, lady.
Nope.
That was my I love movie quotes, and when I think about that, every time I think about that question, I just think of an old boy from A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. If you ask that question, you're going to have to be prepared for it, and you're probably not going to like it. Because honestly, I feel most dudes that I've talked to, even when I was younger, I thought the same thing. If a woman, if I asked her how many dudes you've been with, and she said three, I'd be like, three? Man, I guess you don't have no parents in the house. I mean, I would give some kind of crazy answer. Any answer that wasn't just you was
really,
wrong.
Really, Brian, really?
Right. Yeah.
Tell him, ladies, look him in the eye.
He's not lying.
Tell him what he won't hear. It was just you.
He's not lying.
Do we have time for another caller, Brian?
Honestly, the list we have here, some of them are callers and some are just listeners, and they're out of order. I don't know who's who. I'm gonna try to grab one here because this list, I ain't gonna lie, the list is full. It's very, very full.
Just try one.
While I try to search for one, actually no, we're actually running out of time. Actually, looking at the time, we actually are almost out of time.
Oh, okay, we are
out of time.
Wow, time flies.
We gotta say farewell.
Yeah, it does.
It was a fantastic. Absolutely fantastic show. We want to thank everybody who called in. Everybody who listened. We saw a large list of listeners coming in. It was very, very nice to reach all of our satellite groups, our new listeners, our
Woo-hoo!
Members of the group, people who are outside the group. We're just going to go ahead and go through a little sign-off one at a time. Mr. David, Mr. Boom Shakalaka, if you want to sign off, please.
Wow. Thank you for all the callers, all the listeners. We appreciate it. You know, we love putting on shows for you guys, and we love and appreciate the fact that you're showing us love. So from us, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much, and good night.
Okay, Ms. Rilla?
Oh, okay. I was just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We had a great time. I had a great time with you guys, and I hope you had a great time with us. I wanted to say just to the satellite groups, make sure you're looking at those fan pages, and we're coming soon to those other two areas. Look forward to it, and look forward to next week.
Thank you. The Mrs. Clutcher.
Hello, hello. Thank you again for all of our listeners. We appreciate you. We're back, and, you know, just stay tuned for next week and the weeks upcoming, and please keep sending in your questions. We enjoy answering questions, so please keep sending those in.
Thank you all. And I just want to give a special shout-out to this crew that y'all heard tonight. These three people have been so supportive and so good, and work so hard to bring you what we brought to you tonight. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. There was a lot of stuff that happened that had to happen for us to come together to bring this to you. And we just, I mean, the gratification and the pride and the love I feel for these people and all y'all out there is just amazing. I mean, for us to pull this off, it took a lot, and we were able to do it, and I'm really proud of that fact. So if y'all out there, please, I can't hear you, but please put your hands together for this trio of fantastic folks who here on the other end of my voice right now. These three folks, Boom Shakalaka, Ms. Fletcher, and Ms. Parker, the three finest individuals in the radio business in the world. That's what I got to say.
World.
Thank you. I'll take it.
You're quarantined.
We are going. Marshall, go ahead. Okay, so Miss Pamela will have her crew back next week. They will be coming at you next Thursday, 9 p.m., the same bat time, same bat channel. We are signing off the Midwest Mocha Singles Podcast. Good night, everybody. We'll see you in the group.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.